And peace and love be multiplied. We are trying to get out of verse number 1 in this psalm. Really, I'm not trying to get out of it. I'm trying to get out of it everything we can. Because, as far as I'm concerned, this is one of the most important psalms in the Scripture for the believer. And all the psalms are the Scriptures for the believer, right? I wonder how many times we've tried to argue the Scripture with unbelievers. You avail nothing. Absolutely not. This book is for believers. And even believers spend their time often arguing texts and so on and so forth. The thing to do is just read what it says, believe what it says, and go on.
Yes.
And if God doesn't reveal that to someone else or someone near you and so on and so forth, just wait till He does.
Yes.
For they'll study, then God will reveal to them what He's revealed to you. He is no respecter of persons. Psalm chapter 23. The Lord is. What a statement. The Lord is. That is one of the most declarative statements in your Bible. Go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God. What a statement. Not one time in this Bible does God ever try to prove His existence. The Scripture just declares
yes.
it to be so.
Yeah. Amen.
Creation declares it to be so. All that God is declares it to be so. The Lord is my shepherd. Now, let me, before I get into what I want to say tonight, give you this. If I make the statement, the Lord is my shepherd, I'm really making two statements in one. That is a dual statement. If Brother Gary brings Sherry up to one of us tonight and says, "This is my wife, Sherry," he's made two statements.
Yes.
If that is his wife, then he is her husband. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen.
Now look at this statement again. The Lord is my shepherd. That means that the writer of this is saying, I am the Lord's sheep.
Yes. Yes.
Do you see that?
Yes.
So in the context, the Lord is my shepherd. The writer is also saying, I am the Lord's sheep.
Yes.
I'm His and He's mine. Mm-hmm. This is a dual relationship, not just one. It is a dual relationship. And the statement is a double positive. The Lord is my shepherd. Thusly, I am His sheep. We've talked much about the shepherd to this point. By the way, this psalm is not about the sheep. This psalm is about the shepherd. And when we finish this psalm, I think you're going to see the Lord more so than you've ever seen Him before, if you'll just stay with us. The writer is saying, the Lord is my shepherd. To say that is to say that everything that He is belongs to me. And everything that I am belongs to Him. He is my shepherd, I am His sheep. He is my leader, I am the follower. What do sheep do? Follow. Shepherds lead, sheep follow. In order to be a good sheep, all you have to do is follow. Isn't that amazing? In order to be a good sheep, you just follow. Let's take another glimpse at the shepherd tonight. We may spend another night on this, but in all probability, I can kind of wrap it up at that point tonight and we can go on to the next phrase. The Lord is my shepherd. The shepherd's basic task is manifold. Just to be a shepherd says he does many things. A doctor does many things, does he not?
Yes.
Now, of course, we're living in the age of specialists. You want somebody to help you with the problems you have, right?
Yes.
We need a general practitioner.
Yes.
We need more general practitioners.
Sure.
A shepherd is a general practitioner. Let me show you why. Let me just list some things. You might want to write these down. He minds the sheep. Now, the word mind we use in several different ways. If I say, if Mama says to me, do you mind me? Are you doing what I say? Then that means that I am obeying her, right? But if I mind something as the shepherd minds the sheep, that means he's caring for it. So whatever the problem arises as far as the sheep is concerned, the shepherd is there to take care of it. And he takes care of it with great expertise. He's not a novice. He's not a hireling. I've often said that the average church in our day and time doesn't want a pastor, a shepherd. They want a hireling. They want a novice or a novelty. But the reason they want that is because they don't necessarily want the care of the shepherd. They want to care for themselves.
Sure.
Let me tell you something. Sheep can't care for themselves.
Right.
We do not have the ability. God has so designed it that we are cared for by the shepherd. And our shepherd is the Lord Jesus. Now, God's given us under shepherds, for which we give him much praise. But we have a shepherd who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he minds us. He cares for us. Cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. We ought to be busy casting our cares on him rather than casting our cares on someone else.
Right.
Now, I don't have a problem with sharing things with someone that will keep their mouth shut. You don't find many of those. We need to share things with each other and pray for each other, right?
Yes.
But our cares are to be cast upon him. We spend too much time telling people things that we ought to be talking to the Lord about. I made the statement last week. Remember when I talked about the nose flies, the nostril flies last week? And I said that the larva will get into the brain and drive the sheep crazy. And she asked me, can a sheep go crazy? Absolutely. Absolutely. But the reason he goes crazy is because he minds the wrong thing. He goes in the wrong direction. He keeps his eyes on something other than the Lord Jesus. Let me tell you something. Now think with me for just a moment. I'm going to make this statement. I'm making it not because I'm an expert in the field, but I'm making it because I have some experience here. And every time it's happened this way. When people seem to be mentally deranged that are born again, they know the Lord Jesus. When their mind is turned toward the Lord Jesus, their symptoms disappear. Several times I've gone into rooms with folks whom they say have mental problems. And people do. But you go in there and start singing Amazing Grace. Go in there and start quoting Psalm 23. Go in there and start telling them about Jesus, the whole temperament of that individual changes instantly. Why? Because their mind is being turned toward the Lord Jesus Christ. They're looking back to the shepherd again. God's people have no business spending our time doing the things and putting our minds on the things of the world when they ought to be on the Lord Jesus, on the shepherd. There are too many things out there to distract us. And when we get distracted, our minds don't function properly. We're supposed to have the mind of the Lord Jesus anyway, are we not? Absolutely. Let me move to something else quickly. Not only does he mind the sheep, but I like this word, he mothers the sheep. Now, a lot of folks think that you're going too far here. But now, wait a minute. Let's see if we are. A mother holds her child. She examines her child. She sees that child is fed. That child is cleaned. That child rests. What does the shepherd do for the sheep? Exactly the same thing. There's a word that I love to use in this psalm because it speaks of it so often. It's a word that most of us kind of snarl our nose about when it's used. It's the word fondle. Do you know what fondle means? It means to examine lovingly with your hands. It's not a bad word. Now, it's been given a bad connotation, but the definition is fine. It means to handle carefully or examine carefully with our hands. That shepherd examines carefully that sheep. He examines the sheep from his nose to his tail, and he checks every single inch of that sheep on a regular basis to make sure there are no parasites, to make sure there are no burrs, to make sure there are no sore places, no open sores, no bruised places. And all of this is done by the hand. He is mothering that sheep. He sees to it that the sheep is fed. What if the mother dies? What happens to the sheep? The shepherd feeds the sheep. The shepherd loves the sheep. The shepherd even puts on his sheep's coat and lays with that little lamb in order that it bond with something. Glory to God. I just had a chill. Yeah. I said to you last week that the Lord Jesus Christ put on a human coat, just like that shepherd puts on a sheep's coat and identifies with that sheep. Well, that shepherd not only identifies with that sheep, but that shepherd puts that coat on and lays down in order that that sheep might bond with him. And guess where that little sheep will always be found? Let's make this statement again. The Lord is my shepherd. That is a statement that says, I am the only sheep in his pasture, as far as I'm concerned. And as far as I can tell from him, I'm the only sheep in the pasture. Now let me tell you something. If you don't have that kind of relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're missing something deeply in this thing called salvation. He loves me like I was his only child. He loves me as though I were the only sheep in the pasture. And he is the only shepherd I know. I don't want another shepherd. That's what that sheep's saying. I don't want another shepherd. He is my shepherd. He's all I need. Rah, rah, no wonder. No wonder the joy breaks out. Rah, rah, Jehovah, rah, rah. Amen. That's what that first verse is saying, that first phrase in that verse is saying. He looks at me like I'm the only sheep that he has. The shepherd marks his sheep. Now, unlike cattle, the shepherd does not brand the sheep. If he did, it would ruin the coat. So he doesn't brand the sheep. You know what he does? He takes the ear and cuts his mark in the ear of that sheep. Often he will even
carve the name of the sheep in its ear. But if not, it's the name of the shepherd. He's marked that sheep as his own. It has an ear mark. Did you catch that?
Yes, sir.
An ear mark. Do you know the process of a bond slave in the scriptures? If a servant doesn't want to go out in the year of Jubilee. You see, in the year of Jubilee, the servants are all who have sold themselves to the Israelites as servants. In the year of Jubilee, they go free. And if one says to his master, I don't want to go free. Here's what he says. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. Therefore, I will not go out. And the master takes that servant to a post and with an auger drills through his ear. He now has an ear mark that he belongs for his lifetime to that master. I love the way this is laid down in the scriptures. Get this in your head. I love my master. I love my wife. I love my children. Now that's the order of love for all of us.
Yes.
If we fail in that, then our family is going to be disoriented.
Yes.
Our lives will be upside down. God first, wife, then family. That's God's way. And that shepherd marks that sheep, and that sheep is his, claimed his. More so, he is a peculiar sheep. That word peculiar means, I'm going to use a little example here, okay? Let's take these microphone stands and make four corners. I'm going to choose some individuals and put them in this thing. Come here, big guy. Stand over here with me. Come here, young lady. Stand over here with you. All right? You might as well come on too. Come on over here and stand in this thing. What Simon Peter says, we are a peculiar people. That word peculiar means that I have chosen or I have purchased and put them in an enclosure. It was a circle in days gone by. And that served notice on everybody else that everything in that circle belonged to the buyer. Now that's exactly what Jesus Christ has done with us. He chose us and he served notice on all of creation and hell itself, that we belong to Him. Everything inside that circle belongs to Him. That's what that word peculiar means that Simon Peter uses. We're earmarked. We're heart marked. We're heart marked. When that sheep says, the Lord is my shepherd, we need to feel, and sometimes it's hard to do if you don't understand the circumstances, but we need to feel the love that exudes from the statement itself. The Lord is my shepherd. Can we say that with affection? Can we say that with agape love in our heart and our voice? We can if we belong to Him. We can truly cry, Abba, Father, the shepherd marks the sheep. The shepherd muses over the sheep. The word muse means to think. The sheep never leave the shepherd's mind. This is what he lives for. His whole purpose in life is to shepherd those sheep. And the sheep are totally dependent upon his ability to shepherd. There will never be a day, let me just say it like this, there has never been a day in eternity past, nor will there be a day in eternity future that we are not on the mind of the shepherd, that we are not thought of in a loving manner. Didn't Jesus say the good shepherd loves his sheep? If you're in love, what occupies your mind? The object of that love. We are the sheep of His pasture. The Lord is my shepherd. The next time the devil gets on your back and you get down physically, maybe financially, or maybe just got the blacks on a day, you remember you're on His mind. And nothing is occurring in your life that He isn't keenly aware of. And let me go further to say to you that nothing is occurring in your life that He hasn't made provisions for your escape therefrom. I went to Florida last week and did the graduation exercise for a friend of mine who had run his race here on earth and had headed out for the fold. I talked with him on the phone a few days before he died, and I said, "Brother Jerry, I want you to do something for me. When you cross over, son, shout one time for me. And just say, 'That's for Brother Larry. He'll be here shortly.'" He was the president of the Jacksonville Baptist Theological Seminary for years. Tremendous man. Probably 800 people or more at the funeral. And I'd done my best to preach like a holy roller. The service is over and folks are walking out. And I heard this lady say, "I'm going to become a Baptist. I want a funeral like that." You think of how ignorant folks are, you know. But at the same time, that was a compliment in a real sense. Because it wasn't a funeral, I promise you. It was a graduation exercise. He had gone through some rough days near the end. And his oldest boy said to me, he said, "I don't understand, Brother Larry. Daddy gave his life in service to the Lord. I don't understand why he had those bad days before he left out of here." And I said, "Son, there's one thing you can count on. God never makes a mistake. And there's a purpose in everything that God lets one of His little sheep walk through." And I said, "If it weren't for anything else, it's to show you offsprings that the grace of God is sufficient in the rough times, because even in those rough hours, Brother Jerry was still giving God the glory and looking forward to winning the fight and going on to home." You see, too many times when it comes to that, we look at that as a failure. "Oh, cancer won." No, no, no. Jerry won the battle over cancer. Praise God, he left this body shouting and going on to glory. Oh, yeah. Listen, nothing is going to befall us that won't bring glory to God. You mark that down. Because He loves us too much and He muses over us too much. I'm on His mind. He knows my downsettings and my uprisings. He knows everything that takes place in my life. And nothing can befall me except it have His permission. Son, "Brother Lyle, I don't believe that." Well, you may need to start believing that. Because you need to learn the relationship between that sheep and the shepherd. I move. The shepherd mends the sheep. In mending the sheep, he does several things. He trims the sheep. Oftentimes the wool get over the eyes of the sheep. They're blind anyhow. And if the wool's over their eyes, they can't see daylight. So the shepherd cuts that wool back from around his eyes so he can see. He keeps the parasites out of the wool. Out of the sheep, out of his ears, out of his eyes, out of his nose, and out of his mouth. Keeps the parasites away. Flies, let me just give you this and help you out a little bit. Flies in the Old Testament were a type of demons. As a matter of fact, Beelzebub. You see, they called Jesus Beelzebub. Beelzebub means the god of the flies. It's said that though all of the carcasses of the beast and the blood of the sacrifices on Temple Mount, thousands at a time, from time to time, and not one single fly was ever seen on Temple Mount. But they called Jesus Beelzebub, the God of the flies. It was as low as they could go in trying to defame him. So the flies are types of demonic activity that would invade us and deter us, aggravate us along the way. Let me ask you this. Have there been things in your life that God's helped you to go beyond? I mean, just get over being so restless about certain things? That's one of the flies that God's given you grace to get by. He's put the oil on you and the flies can't bother you anymore. I'll tell you what, you folks don't understand this. There have been times that I've taught this and I absolutely have shouted the house down so many times. And I'm not sure I'm not about to do it right now. Glory to God. Some of this stuff just gets all over me. I guess after teaching through this and studying sheep and shepherds for all these years, that it means more to me than it does somebody else. But I'll tell you right now, this thing gets a hold of me sometimes and I just can't let it go. He muses, thinks, and then he masters the sheep. I wish that I could say he's mastered me tonight. But I truly can't say that because there's still a lot of me involved in me. But he masters the sheep. Do you know that you are predestined? That word means predetermined by the Lord God Almighty to conform to the image of his dear son?
Yes.
Are you aware of that?
Yes.
And in mastering the sheep, the shepherd is making us more like Jesus. We become more like him. In all of the affairs of our lives, God uses these things to master us and bring us to where we will be like him, more like Jesus. Someone said to me just the other day, "Brother Larry, every time I see you, you look more like your daddy." And the thought instantly went through my mind, "Oh, would to God that every time you see me, I look more like my heavenly Father, more like my shepherd." For you see, that is the task. He masters that sheep. I'm going to say this, I'm going to leave this with you. You can muse on this for the rest of the week, rest of your life if you want. He so watches over that sheep and mediates for that sheep in times of distress and disobedience. Let me give you a scenario. The sheep are going down the road and a farmer has planted some vegetables, let's say, off beside the road. One of the sheep runs over into that garden and eats some of the vegetables and tears up some of the others. The farmer goes to the shepherd and says, "That sorry sheep of yours has eaten and torn up my vegetable garden." Watch this. That shepherd says, "Yes, sir. I see that the sheep is guilty of what you say. I'll pay for the damages. I'll take care of the damages." And he takes care of the damages that the sheep has done. He mediates for the sheep. Paul said to Timothy in his first letter, "There's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. My shepherd mediates when I kick out of the traces and go into somebody else's garden and tear down their flowers." It is the shepherd's responsibility to take care of what the sheep tears up. It is the shepherd's responsibility to see to it that the sheep gets into the fold at night. Look at me. It is not the sheep's responsibility. It is the shepherd's responsibility.
Yes.
I want you to learn this. If you learn nothing else from anything else I've taught you, will you learn this? It is the shepherd's responsibility to get the sheep into the fold. If he wanders, if he strays, it is the shepherd's responsibility to see to it that that sheep gets to the fold. We'll talk more about that in verses to come. But listen to me. Take the crown off your head. And take the gloves off your hands. You're not going to work your way in. And you're not going to brag your way in. You only get there because the Lord Jesus shepherds us into the fold. And it is His responsibility. That means that I'm going to the fold. It makes no difference how much hell pops before I get there. I'm going to the fold because I belong to the shepherd, and it's His responsibility to get me into that fold. Well, hallelujah!
Yes.
Nothing excites me more than to know this thing doesn't belong to me. I didn't earn it. Are you listening to me?
Yeah.
I didn't pay for it. And I'm not paying for it.
Amen.
I'm just trying to follow the shepherd by the grace of God. And I know the shepherd's going to get me home when this thing's over.
Yes. Yes. Glory, 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 glory.
Yes.
It's not my responsibility to get there. Are you listening to me? Throw your Armenian thinking away. It's not your responsibility to get there. It's His responsibility to get you there. And if that's so, not one sheep, not one sheep will fail to go into the fold. Whew.
Brother Harold, that's just about more than I can handle, son.
Glory. Hallelujah. Can I ask you to do something tonight? Will you just relax and follow the shepherd? Will you just relax and know that He is competent? He will perform His task, and we all shall arrive.
Yes.
In the fold.
Amen.
In the days to come. Oh, I wanted to say much about Him choosing the sheep. And it's His choice, not ours. He chooses the sheep. He's there at the birth. If He purchases it, He's there at the purchase. This thing gets good. Like the old tongue-tied fella said, boy, it gets dooder and dooder, and someday it's going to turn to tugger. And we're just about there.
Yeah. Amen.
We're just about there. Father in heaven, thank You for Your mercy.